Welcome to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us as we study the Word of God together. Go get your Bible and let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us today.
This morning. Amen. Welcome to Walking Truth Christian Fellowship Church. I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you for those all around the world, wherever you reside. I pray that you hear something today that will strengthen your walk with Christ and also bring you to the mantle. What must you do to be saved this morning?
Amen.
Thank you. So this morning, we're going to have a scripture and prayer with Brother Travis, exaltation with Brother Marvin, and then we have a song from Sister Free.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
If you will, bow your head in prayer. Dear God, we come to you today. We thank you for bringing us all together. I know it's cold outside, but that doesn't stop us from serving you, God.
Come on.
We love you, Lord.
Yes.
We come to you again, no matter the weather, no matter day, night, good, bad, ugly.
Yes.
We just come to you. We bring our troubles to you, our trespasses to you.
Yes.
We thank you for forgiving us our sins. We ask that you continue on in grace and that you'll guide us in ways of not taking advantage of your grace, Lord.
Come on.
Thank you,
Jesus. We ask that you just, again, continue on with that. Keep us enduring your word, Lord. And we thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen, amen, everybody. How y'all doing today?
Amen. 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 Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Tell y'all,
praise the Lord.
God is good.
Yes, he
when
is.
I say he good,
yes, he is.
Good. Matter of fact, he's so good, I'm glad to see all y'all here. So that means he good to y'all too.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I want to first of all thank the Lord for just letting me be here.
Amen.
Reach 55 years old. Oh. All the stuff I've been through. Yeah. He made a way for me to be here. And I thank the Lord. No matter what you're going through, here or out there, God is by your side.
Yes,
he has you in his interest, all his children. So be patient.
Yes.
Be very patient. Move when he tell you to move.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you the things that I've been through, what me and my wife been through, if I'd have moved when I wanted to, I'd have failed.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Just like getting my truck fixed. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of Lord, be patient. He made a way, y'all. He made a way where I got to pay $100 to get my truck fixed.
Wait on it.
I'm going to tell you, I thank the Lord for a strong woman who got me back into Christ. I gave up on church. I gave up on all the wrongdoings and like, oh, who cares? Who cares about that? But my wife was the first one that mentioned Christ. And I was so intrigued and interested because people don't talk about it no more. They're afraid. To just, they're ashamed of something, I don't know what it is. But she let me know there is a good God. There is somebody there for me no matter what I'm going through.
Yes,
she
is.
Couldn't help me.
Yes, he is.
My mother couldn't help me. My father couldn't help me. No way. I had to reach out and depend on the God.
Right.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is so good. He's been providing for us the whole time my wife's been sick. We've been going through trials and trials together like never before. It's showing me patience. It's showing me kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing me love, especially through y'all. That's why I'm love to be here on this day.
Hallelujah.
To just let y'all all know I learned from each and every one of y'all. And out there, whoever listen, whatever y'all going through, depend on the Lord only.
Yeah.
You can talk about stuff to people, but don't let them decide your decision. Let God make your decision.
Come on.
When you're going through trials and tribulations, accept those. Because that is a learning point in your lives. I'm going to tell you, because I'm learning to leave it at his step, at his feet. Because I'm going to tell you, if I don't, again, it would have been disastrous. And I know it has. And I thank the Lord been providing for all our needs. I'm talking about every need. I'm about to cry again because he's so good. Because I find myself, the more I leave it at his footstep and let him take care of me, it all comes out good. And I'm going to tell you, God is alive. Do y'all hear me? Whatever y'all need, go to him. He's going to provide. And be patient again. Don't ever think, or he too slow, or he ain't going to do it for you. He going to make a way, but you got to leave it with him. You can't be talking about, oh, Lord, I depend on you. I'm going to leave it with you. Leave it with him, because you pick it back up, he can't take care of you. He going to let you fail just because you think you got it. So I'm going to tell you one more thing. Be patient. That's the most important thing. And guess what? Stay in love with the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and love one another with kindness and heart and always lend that ear.
This is a new, it's not a new song, but I've never sung it before. And it's significant. I know when I think about like Bible study, how important it is to get into the Word of God and to learn how to study and rightly divide it. So that's a little bit of what this song is about, and how the Word of the Lord will, how you can hear from the Lord by getting into his Word. Is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Come on, freedom.
Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest holiness. I'm finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is,
go, girls.
This hour, we're gonna get to the meat of the matter. The sister came in swinging and on fire. So, at this moment, I would like to present to you all Sister Judith Trent.
Amen.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I'm really happy to be here today. I'm happy to see everyone. I'm not trying to be biased, but I'm happy to see Brother Marvin.
Amen.
I'm happy to see everyone. But when I saw him at the door, I was like, oh my God, he's here. And his family is here too. So I'm really happy. Because last week, he wasn't here last week. And I was just thinking about him at home and wondering how you guys were doing. So to see you guys here, I'm very happy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're just going to bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for your people here this morning. We've come before you this morning. I ask that you will speak to your people, that I will just be a microphone in your hands that you would use to amplify the words that you want them to hear this morning. I ask that your word will come strong on your people and we will get something from today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I want to give honor to whom honor is due. I want to first thank God. Brother Travis, you're going to have to give me a bottle of water. I'm going to need water. So, I want to first thank God for the opportunity to be standing here. And I also want to thank Pastor Jay for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I don't take it for granted. So, the church that I came from, I used to be in the choir. And so that's what I did most of the time. I sang, you know, I was like Stephen pretty much, leading the service and everything. Thank you. But today I get the opportunity to bring the word of God. And for me, every time I get the chance to teach or to talk to people about the word of God, I like to go back to God and ask him what he wants me to do. So I went back when Pastor Jay told me that I was bringing the word. I quickly went back to God and I said, what would you have me say to the people? And while I was praying, I felt like a screen or like a flash. And it was Luke chapter 18, verse 1 that came to mind. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have us turn to the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And I particularly like this scripture in the King James Version. So, and I actually have the NIV here. So if anybody has the King James, just read it out for me, please. Okay, can you read Luke 18 verse 1, please?
And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
Yes, thank you very much. I read this scripture in many other versions, and NIV says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So he already gave them the lesson of the parable before he even started with the parable. So the lesson here is that men should always pray and not to faint. This is the story of the widow that had a case, and she went to the judge. I'm sure everybody knows the story here. She went to the judge and she wanted him to avenge her case. And he wouldn't give her any attention. And she kept going, she kept going, and she kept going. And one day he was like, okay, I'm just going to do this just so you can stop bugging me. And then he did it and she got what she wanted to get. But the parable wasn't actually my focus. Because Jesus didn't give me, or God didn't give me, Luke 18 verse 1 to anything. He just said Luke 18 verse 1. That was what he wanted me to talk about today. And so I knew that my focus was going to be on prayer. And so I started to do some digging on prayer and what Jesus was actually talking about. He says man, or men in the plural, ought always to pray and not to faint. And so I took those words one by one. What is man? What does he mean by ought? Like, you know what ought is? Ought means supposed to. This is what it's supposed to be. But it's probably not the way it is, but this is how it is supposed to be. Man ought always, always to pray and not to faint. And so I think I came to the conclusion that if you're not praying, you're fainting. You're giving up, you're discouraged. So the opposite of prayerfulness is not, the opposite is not prayerlessness. It is pretty much fainting. And we cannot afford to be fainting in this time that we're living, because the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. Amen. And so we cannot afford to be fainting in this time of our lives, or in this century, or in this time that we live. So I'm not here to talk about warfare, but I'm here to talk about prayer as in intimacy with God. I think it's very important. A lot of people come to church, we pray in church. We even pray at home. We do 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, and then we say that's it. But the more I dug into this scripture, I realized that God is calling us to a place of intimacy with him. And so I went back to the book of Genesis. So in Genesis chapter 1, we can turn there. Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28, right? And I'll use my phone. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see God saying, the Bible says, then God said, let us make man or human being. This version, I know the King James will probably say man. Let us make man or human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wildlife, or all the wild animals on the earth, and et cetera, et cetera. You see here that the number one of the Godhead was talking amongst himself. He wasn't talking to the angels here. He was talking between himself. Because we know God is three in one. He was talking to Jesus, he was talking to the Holy Spirit. We assume, we believe that this is God the Father talking to himself. And he said, let us make man in our own image, right? One time, Travis and I were doing this Bible study about Genesis chapter 1, and we came to chapter 1, verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you guys to kind of follow me, because I'm trying to build something here as to why prayer, or what prayer is, and why prayer is important. And so, God created the heavens and the earth, but also, we know that the Bible doesn't, God doesn't start a thing until he finishes it. Like, so it finishes, and then he starts. So we can actually know that Revelations, if you go to Revelations, you see a lot of things before Genesis starts. In Revelations, the Bible says that there was war in heaven in chapter 12. And that great dragon, we're talking about Lucifer, we're talking about the devil, Satan, was thrown from heaven down to the earth. And the Bible talks about woe to the inhabitants of the earth and all that and all that. And so I was thinking, from the time when the devil was thrown from the earth, from heaven down to the earth, we don't know how many aeons passed before God decided to make the world, to come down to earth. And he was like, you know what, let's do a project, let's create something. So the devil, he already knew that the devil was down and thrown onto the earth. But then he came and he said, let us make man in our own image. He was talking to himself, he created man. And then he wanted man to be like him, like in his likeness. He wanted man to carry, to be an extension of him, right? And so he's ruling heaven, and he wanted man to rule earth. And so we knew that when he created man, he gave him dominion, he gave him power over the land, the animals on the land, the fishes and the sea, the air and everything. He just wanted, it's just like having a teacher and an assistant, a student, right? So the teacher is of course the teacher of the class. And then he picks a student like Stephen and Pastor G, let me see. And so he picks a student and says, you're going to be the class captain. You're going to take care of the class when I'm not there. And so when the teacher is gone, that student has the authority to say, hey, everyone, bring your homework. I'm going to take it. I'm going to collect it for the teacher. So that's what we're doing. So he created us and he's like, you're going to be here as many gods. The Bible says in one of the letters the Paul's writing that we're gods on this earth. So he created us and he put us down there and he says, this is your work. This is what you're going to do. And he knew that the devil was already on the earth. So God is not, it was not like a coincidence when the devil came and tempted God, Eve. It wasn't like God was like, oh, I didn't consider that. God already knew about the existence of the devil on the face of the earth. But he was going to see what, you know, man was going to do. And so, of course, man went ahead to sin and the communication was broken. The point I'm trying to make is this. Before the communication was broken, when man was in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that in the cool of the day, the Lord will come and speak to man. They had this friendship, they had this rapport, they had this intimacy where the Lord would come from his own word into our three-dimensional world and he would talk to man. They would have fellowship, they would, you know, they would converse and blah, blah, blah. But then man fell, and after man fell, it was obvious that there was a separation, and now man began to hide from God. It wasn't a thing where God came in the cool of the day again and he couldn't find man. Man was missing. He was hiding in the bushes. Because sin came, of course, we got ashamed, we were shy, we were hiding. But then Jesus came and Jesus died to fix the problem that we had initially, right? Mm-hmm. And so now Jesus has fixed it to where we can come back to God. The Bible talks about the curtain and the holies of holies being torn. And now we can approach the, you know, throne, we can come, we can talk. But it seems like that's not the case for many, many Christians, many believers. Jesus has fixed the problem that we had from the beginning, mm-hmm. but it seems like we don't always, like we're not still finding ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, we come to church and we do the do's and the don'ts and everything, but mm-hmm. my question is, how deep is your walk or your relationship with God? When I got Luke chapter 18 verse 1, I knew that he was talking about prayer and he wanted not just group prayer, collective prayer. He's looking for men and women that he can pull into the side and show him. You know, like Moses. Moses was a friend of God to the point where he said, I want to see you. And God said, okay, I'm going to close your eyes and I'm going to pass. And I'm going to show you my back. That's the kind of friendship that the Lord is looking for, to the point where there's nothing hidden, to the point where we're so into him and he's so into us that We're in a relationship like it was from the beginning, before, you know, everything, things happen. And so that's what God wants us to know this morning. He wants us to build something. If you've not already been building, this is the time to build. Because like I said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If you don't have substance, it is obvious. Like, maybe your friends don't see it, but the devil knows the people that are deeply rooted in God. He also knows the people that are just, you know, on the surface playing church. And God wants us to go deeper in this time, in this season, in prayer, in fellowship, in intimacy with him. The word, the key word that I want us to go home with today is intimacy, right? It's just like being married to someone. You cannot just act like they are your coworker or they're your, you know, like your neighbor or something. It has to be such a deep relationship where they know everything about you, where you guys share things, where it is, you know, they know you're in and you're out. They know the next move that you're about to make. They can predict because they have known you so much. That's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with him. He doesn't want us to come. There's some things that we would come to the presence of God after building such a rapport with him. There's some things you will not do anymore because now you know God. Like, you know that my God doesn't like this. And even though other people do it and it's fine, right? Even though it's a thing, actually, maybe it's even accepted in the Christian community. Mm-hmm. You know the personal relationship that you have with God, and you know the kind of things that he would say. Let me give an example. In the Bible, Samson, we know Samson was a special case. He couldn't cut his hair. He had long hair. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew God as different things, but in Samson's life, it was special that his relationship with God was in a way that he couldn't cut his hair. And so my question is, with everything that we know, right, in the world, you know, what to do, what the Bible says, what special instruction or special rapport do you have with God? What special secrets does he give you? You know, because you trust secrets with his beloved. What special thing do you know about him that he has told you? What name do you know God as? In the Bible, Abraham knew God as El Shaddai, as the God that will that will raise the dead, because his body was dead. Sarah couldn't have kids. And God came as El Shaddai. And other people knew God as different things. People knew God as Jireh because they knew that he would provide. People knew God as Rapha because when they were sick, God healed them, right? So if you've not gone deep with him to the point where, like, not just on the surface, God wants us to go way beyond the surface. If God created the universe, as big as the universe is, and God will never create something bigger than himself, right? He will not create something that is too big that he cannot handle, he cannot control. So imagine a God that creates the universe as big as it is. Just think about that God. He's way bigger than the universe that he created. So there's so many things in him that we need to explore. We need to become like astronauts exploring space. That's how we need to explore God and go deeper and deeper and deeper into him. And so I want to give us, you know, a step on how we can build intimacy with God. I know that most of us, we do have, you know, we love God, we know God, we pray to God about our needs. But prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue where you let him talk too, after you're done telling him everything that you want to tell him. And so I want to, you know, help us in building a prayer altar at home, right, in our closets, in our private corners. So the first thing about building a prayer life or a prayer altar is realizing that on an altar, sacrifices need to be made, right? People pray for fire, fire, God give us fire. Fire will not come if there's no sacrifice on the altar. And guess what? You are the sacrifice that needs to be on the altar. Your time, your investments, your resources, everything, your household needs to be sacrificed on the altar. And so the first thing about building a prayer life is making up your mind that this is me and God. I'm going to give everything it takes to spend time with God. If I have to pray at 5 p.m. tomorrow and there's a game, I'm going to choose God over the game. I'm gonna, you know, go into my prayer closet, even though my friends want to hang out, I will choose God. Those are little sacrifices that you have to make. And then I realized that in the Old Testament and scattered all over the Bible, I realized that spirits, right, not just God, but spirits answer to sacrifices. When human beings sinned, Jesus did not just come to God and say, Adam didn't just say, oh, we're sorry, and fix the problem. Jesus had to die. A sacrifice had to be made for the case, for the problem that was created, right? And so forth. So many other examples in the Bible of people that had to sacrifice something to get something. And so if you want to go far in God, you have to sacrifice something. It's never going to be easy. It's never going to be in your dreams. You have to do it in reality. You have to do it with your full mind, right? I remember one of the stories in the Bible where this king was fighting with the Israelites and he was losing, right? He began to lose the battle and he grabbed his son and he sacrificed him and he won the battle over Israel, over God's people. He made such a huge sacrifice by killing his child and then he won. And so how much more God? We're talking about the king of the world, the owner of the universe. You cannot have he has already paid everything, right, with Jesus. But I'm saying that you cannot know him deeper than you know him now without sacrificing something. That'll be time, that'll be your food. Sometimes he will say, fast. And then you have to put food aside, especially when maybe they just made something very delicious. It's always those times that he comes and whispers, fast. It happens to me a lot. And then I'm like, oh my God, like I didn't really hear that. And then he comes again. And in that moment, if you don't obey, you know, you're on your own. But, you know, it happens. You have to give something up to gain mileage with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the first thing you want to do is resolve in your heart that you give things up. It will not be an easy journey. But it's worth it because the things you find in God is way better than what the word can give you. We already know that, right? We want to enjoy the presence of God. I have been there. I've gone there before. Growing up, I used to not like church when I was a little girl, like Ferris. I didn't like church at all because Sunday school teacher was very mean. My mom would drop us off at the children's department, and she'd be in the big church. And I just hated it so much. Like, it was just annoying. The lady would whoop us. I know here they don't whoop kids like that. If it's not your kid, you can't whoop them. They would really whoop us. If you don't recite the memory verse, they would really give you some lashes. And I just hated it so much. But I think it was good because then, you know, we had to memorize the scriptures as little kids and we kept growing like that. But I didn't like church then until I grew big enough to the point where I could stay in the big church with my mom. And I could, you know, listen to the word for myself. No one was forcing me to do anything. I was just, you know, I was not a big girl. I was listening and enjoying things. And then at 16, I gave my life to Christ. I started following God. You know, when you give your life to Christ, there's this initial, it's just like being in a new relationship, right? It's so beautiful. I don't know, if you've had years in Christ, you know what I'm talking about. It's so beautiful. Like, I can't get enough of the Bible. I'm always reading the Bible. It was just a different situation altogether. I was happy, you know. And then I grew. I went to college. Actually, I came to America. America spoiled me. And so I came to America at 18, and, you know, I was like, oh, this is the life, you know. I was living. I was still a Christian, right? But then, you know, I wasn't committed as I was before. I was, you know, focused on other things, schoolwork. I was taking my time. And then the church that we were going to at the time, you know, was new to me. Everything was new in the country. And then I started to fall off the bandwagon bit by bit. And I was lukewarm. I got to the point where there was no fire, right? Mm. Jesus says if you're lukewarm, he will spit you out of his mouth. It doesn't. You have to be hot or you have to be cold. In the kingdom, there's no stagnancy. You cannot be in one spot. It's either you're going forward or you're going backward. That's what I realized. If you're not reading the scriptures, eventually you forget the ones that you know. Mm-hmm. Like you're not standing in one place. You're either moving forward or you're going back. Mm-hmm. And so I started to fall. I was lukewarm. I was cold. And then, of course, life started to happen to me. Of course, because life will happen to everyone. Mm-hmm. Situations will come. And I'm like, I remember back when I was growing up and my mom used to tell me about God. I have to go back to God. And so I started going back to him. It didn't really happen. The fire that I was looking for didn't come immediately. And then God orchestrated a situation in my life where I had a job that I had to work overnight. So I'm working 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in the morning. I'm staying awake, or at least I have to stay awake. Many times I dozed off. Many times I was watching Netflix, so I was just really busy with other things, you know. But that period, God used that period to restore me, because now it's midnight hour. And then so I was working in this facility where there were people that had problems, addictions, alcoholism, they were struggling from something, right? So I was like CM1, I was giving meds to them. And so at night, everyone is sleeping really, I don't really give meds at night, so I'm staying awake watching Netflix sometimes. But then I started to see a pattern at the place that I worked. People died, right? A few people died there, right? I worked there. Or at least one person, someone died outside the facility. And then it didn't seem like the addictions were even getting any better. And I don't know these people, mind you, I'm just a worker there. And so I decided, okay, what if I start praying for these random people that I don't know about? That was weird how God wanted me to, because I was praying for fire. You know, God listens when we pray. I'm like, God, please restore me. I know you hate me being lukewarm, but I need, I don't know how to get to the point where I want to get to. I know a lot of us say, I want to be this in Christ. Like, there's so much, you know, desire for how and what you want to be. But if you never pick up something, you will never get there. You have to start somewhere. And so I started praying for these random guys, praying. And midnight prayer is very effective, what I came to realize. It's good to pray during the daytime, but praying at night too is very good. And so I started praying for them and praying for them. And I could feel it. It's like when you're cold, you've been out in the cold, and then somehow you get into a room that is warm, and then you start feeling the sensation on your feet again, coming. And I could feel it, the fire. And when I left work, I would go home and I would just hide in the closet and I would just pray. I'm like, what is happening? And I'm praying. Sometimes I can feel things happening around me, like heat on my back, my hands. Like, I could feel things happening. I knew that the era of being lukewarm was gone. Like, I knew that something has changed, you know. And then God started to take me on a journey with him, you know, teaching me things, you know, helping me and all that. And so the first thing, like I said, is sacrifice. You have to understand that you have to sacrifice something. I didn't really have to sacrifice my sleep because I had to be awake, but I used that opportunity to, you know, to get something, you know. So the first thing is sacrifice. The second thing is when you finally get to the presence of God and you say, God, I want to seek your face. Because see, the Bible says ask, right? Ask, we shall be given. Seek, we'll find, and knock, it'll be open. Most of the time we stop and ask. We ask and we are gone. We ask what we want and we disappear. We forget about seeking. Seeking is like playing hide and seek with someone, right? You're playing hide and seek. You find the person out. God wants to be sought.
He wants us to seek him, right? And so when you decide, know in your heart that, okay, I'm going to make a sacrifice, you want to pick a place and a time where you meet with God all the time, every single day for the rest of your life. I mean, the place can change, the time can change, but you want to be as consistent as possible. If you want to grow, right? If you want to get mileage in the spirits, you want to get, you know, you want to advance with God, you have to have a schedule. I remember the last pastor that was here, the guest pastor that was here, he said it. What was his name?
Sam.
Yeah, yeah, he said it. He said you have to schedule God. Put God in your schedule. He said that. And I knew, I was like, that's actually very correct. You have to make a schedule and say, God, when I get up in the morning, I'm supposed to go to work, do this, do this, do that. But I will put you here. Even if I can, even if you cannot do like a detailed prayer in the morning, save it. You can just say something in the morning, but come in the night and have fellowship with God. It's very, very important that we have fellowship. So you pick a time, pick a place. Over the course of my journey, I've changed my time so many times. Like, oh, 7 p.m. will work, and then later 7 p.m. doesn't work because maybe my schedule at work. So I change it to another time, but pick a time. And best believe, Jesus will be there waiting for you at that time.
Amen.
He will. He's a gentleman, and he takes, you know, he takes things seriously. When you tell him, God, I'm going to be meeting you here every day at this time. I mean, that's why when we come to church, we know that he's here. He's always with us, but he knows the time too. The angels know the time for church. Even the demons know time for church. Mm. It's 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. Everyone is here. Before you even get here, they're all here. And so Jesus wants you to pick a time and be faithful to that time. So pick a time that you want to meet with him, a time that works for you. I came to the conclusion that 1 hour was good. You can pick any time. The reason why I did that, because when Jesus was going to be crucified, he went to pray. He told his disciples to watch. He came back and he was like, "One, you guys cannot even wait, watch 1 hour with me." And I was like, oh, okay, maybe 1 hour is the, you know, it's like the minimum that I can give. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to be doing 1 hour. So I'm doing 1 hour. 1 hour of prayer. You can do 15 minutes. Always start from what you can handle and build your way up.
Amen.
Because the devil, when you say you want to pray for 2 hours, oh my goodness, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be the hardest thing, especially if you've not, you know, it's just like going to the gym. You cannot go straight and carry 100 pounds.
Right.
You're going to start from small, carry whatever, how many kg, whatever they have, and then as you keep going, eventually you get to the point where you can lift heavy, and then you can start lifting. So you have to start from small and then build your way up. If it is, don't do 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not enough to tell God of all your problems and then let him talk back to you. That's not enough time, in my opinion. Give 15 minutes and above. Just tell him, give him time that you can actually handle, right? But that also gives him time to speak back to you, at least for you to bask in his presence. So pick a time and pick a place. You can pick, the Bible says, Jesus says, when you want to pray, go into your closet and close the door, right? Sometimes you might not have an actual closet to go into and close the door. Maybe it has to be like a mental space where no one is talking to you. You can walk, it can be like you're taking a walk. You tell him, God, I'm going to have a prayer walk with you every evening because I don't have any space in my house. I have a lot of people distracting me. Whatever you have to do, but always make time for him and he will be there. I remember when I started being faithful with prayer, and one day I was so tired, I decided to sleep. I literally felt somebody sitting at the side of my bed. I promise you guys, I felt like he was there. And he was like, okay, Judith. He was waiting for me to get up and start praying. And I was so tired. That day, honestly, you know, if you ask God for strength, he will give you strength. But I didn't ask because I didn't want to get up. I didn't ask because I was like, I just want to sleep just one day. And I felt someone leave. Like, I think he was there. And then he was waiting. And he saw that I wasn't coming. And he left. Like, he was like, okay, I'll come back later or something. I felt that. And so I knew in my heart that when you tell God you're going to do something, he'll be there to hold his own side of the bargain. Like, okay, you're going to meet me. I'll make time for you. I'm going to be there. And imagine the King of Kings is waiting for you. You should get up and meet him.
Come on.
So you make a time, you make a place that you're going to meet him, a conducive place, you know, a good place where no one's going to distract you. And then when you finally get to the presence of God, there's this haste that human beings have. Eliminate the haste, that desire to run away. Like, you know, that's what happened after the fall. We were hiding from God. Like,
you know, we're now, and we just want to hide, right? And Jesus has fixed the problem, so we don't need to run away. The devil is still whispering to you, oh, you didn't turn off the stove. I gotta go turn off the stove. No, stay there. I mean, of course, turn off the stove. But what I'm trying to say is that there's going to be a haste. If you start that, okay, if you decide that I'm going to walk with God, the devil will always come. There's always going to be a desire to do something else. Your phone might just, you know, be the instrument that he will use in that moment. Turn it off, put it, in fact, don't bring it to the place that you're going to be praying. Just keep it far, because he will be, you know, immediately a business deal will come. And with me, it's always like that. Like, I want to pray, and then the client is like, wanting to pay my invoice, like, oh, they want to pay. I will take this call real quickly, and Lord, I'll be right back. And before you know it, you're talking, and you miss prayer time. So, as much as possible, make the atmosphere conducive, and then eliminate the desire to leave. That haste, when you're done talking to him, you're like, in Jesus' name, amen. No, you're not done. Actually, when you're finished talking, that is the beginning of the prayer, because now he wants to talk back. Because prayer is a conversation between you and God. It's not a monologue. Like I said, it's a dialogue. And you have to give him space to talk too. How rude is it that you're talking to Pastor J, you're telling him something, and you go, you talk, and it's like, oh, look, you just walk away. Like, you don't want to hear what he has to say, so why did you come to talk to him then? He has to talk to, give him the chance to say what he has to say, and I promise you, Jesus speaks to people. Some people be like, oh, you don't, if you're a sheep, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice.
Come on.
If you're a sheep, you already have the inbuilt software to hear the voice of God, because you're not his sheep, right? And so, all you have to do is now start discerning the voice of God. But he already gave us the ears to hear, right? Yeah. And so when you're done eliminating the haste, you want to find words. You want to come with words. Now, if you're writing, please be writing all these things that I'm saying, because I'm giving you tips on how to go and build that prayer altar, prayer life that you need. The next thing you want to do is you want to come with words. If you want to talk to God, I know you can speak in tongues, but come with your understanding. Pray in your understanding. If you want to build intimacy, you will not speak in tongues to intimacy. You will speak English or the language that you understand. If it's Spanish, if it's English, if it's French, you will speak what you understand to the intimacy that you're looking for. Like, you have to build it with your consciousness. That's what I'm trying to say. And so you come with words. David was the perfect orator. He was wonderful in... If you read the book of Psalms, you see it's held around the love relationship that David had with God. You want to be like that. Someone was telling me one day, I was like, why do you always have to call God all these many, many names? Like, why can't you just call him Jesus and let it be done? I'm like, no. You must have gone deep to the point where you now have words to call him. So you come to God and you're praying like, you are Jehovah Jireh, because when I had nothing, you provided. You are Jehovah Rafika, because when I was heartbroken, you healed me. Everybody has... that is married here probably had a few relationships before they got married. When I was dating, right, I had a relationship that completely crushed me, and then I realized that God was Jehovah Rafika. He's the one that heals the brokenhearted. So how can I come to God and be praying and I just call him Jesus when there's so many, I have a whole truckload of things that have happened in my life that he has come through, and I will come with those words.
Amen.
When you come to God in prayer, come with words of the things. Even if he has not done anything for you, you can't remember, just call him names. Call him. He loves to be, you know what eulogy is? When you call him all these sweet, sweet names, beautiful names. There's no way you would call God all these things and he'll just be looking at you like, he'll come down to you and he'll want to hear more, you know? So come with words. Arm yourself with words when you come before the presence of God, and give him the food that he deserves, praise. Just pour it onto him like the lady with the alabaster box. Just pour those words to him. Call him all the names that you remember, all the words that you know. Just praise him in that moment. Just worship. Set the atmosphere with music if you have to, but come with your words. Amen.
Amen.
And then the other thing that I would say about building your prayer altar or building a prayer life is obedience. When you come to him, you eliminate haste, you come with words, you speak to him and everything, you give him opportunity to, you know, to speak back to you. He will speak back to you. That's what one thing I realized, he will speak back to you. But then when he does speak, it is very important that we obey. Jesus, as powerful as Jesus is, or as powerful as the Holy Spirit is, He will not be powerful in the life of a person that doesn't establish him as Lord, or that doesn't see him as Lord. In the Bible, Jesus slept in the boat when there was a storm. And then I realized that it's not danger that activates Jesus for action. It's not because you're sinking that he will come. It's the person that honors him and establishes him as Lord over their lives, that says your word is completely Lord over me. It's whatever you say that goes. Those are the people that he comes to. The name of Jesus is not a formula. It is a relationship. So it is people that have gone to that point where he gives you instruction, you obey. He's never going to give you the like everything at once. He's always going to come small. It's little by little by little. He's going to tell you. And as long as you're deciding that you want to chase after him, you want to have a relationship, a deep, longing one, lasting one with him, he would come. He will give you, you know, the next step to take and the next step and the next step. And it'll be little things. I realize that Jesus doesn't ever give you big instructions at once, especially if you're just starting. It's just like being born. You don't start from being born to being Messi on the field or Ronaldo on the field. You come from being born to going to learn to stand first, and then you walk, and then maybe your dad enrolls you for like a soccer class or whatever. You start playing, and before you know, you get to the point where you can now play in big leagues and stuff. That's how it is with God. He will start with the small things first. He will tell you little things, and you will hear it. And most of us here, God has spoken to us before, but we say, I don't think God speaks to me. God speaks to you. Yesterday when he told you carry an extra umbrella, it wasn't the devil that was speaking to you. When he says, when you just feel a little flash, you just feel something, like when something bad happens, you start to say, I knew it. I knew I was going to, that's because he was talking to you the whole time. You didn't listen. Last week, I got a call from North Dakota. One of the pastors there passed away. But this is what happened. Weeks before that, I had this desire to call him. Just a strange desire. I was like, call this man. First time came, I was like, Another time came. I ignored it until I got the news that the man passed away. And then I was just quiet, like, oh my God, I knew you were telling me to do something. I just ignored it. I mean, maybe it was just to give him an encouraging word at the time. I didn't know he was going through cancer, right? I didn't know anything. But I knew when I heard the message that God actually told me to call him. I was the one that just maybe got too busy or just pushed it aside. God has been speaking. God speaks to us in many ways, many, many ways. Sometimes it's a knowing in your heart. While you're in there in the place of prayer, someone, maybe Sister Jackie just passes before your face. Like maybe you see her or maybe your name. And God is maybe hinting you, pray for her, pray for her, pray for her. God speaks. God definitely speaks. And as you dig deeper in him, you'll be able to discern his voice. Because like I said, we hear his voice. There's a difference. There's a difference in hearing. There's another thing to discern that this is God talking. The more you spend time with him, you'll be able to tell when the devil is messing with you and when God is talking to you. Over time, I realized that my dreams, I had two kinds of dreams as I kept going deeper and deeper. The first one is pizza dream. Everybody has that kind of dream, just a normal dream. When I'm done, it doesn't mean anything. And the other one is when God is actually showing me something. I realized that, I didn't know this before, but the more I spent time with him, I was able to figure out that this is God's dream, and this is just the devil trying to be crazy, because that's not God. I just knew it. Nobody's going to teach you these things. Like, it's a walk, and as you go deeper in him, there's some things that you just know. Like, just the way you're hungry, and nobody has to tell you you're hungry, or you have to use the bathroom, you have to pee. You know, your body doesn't raise an alarm, like, oh, I gotta go. You know it within you that it's time to go. That's how it is with God. Like, he comes, you know. And then the more you start doing, walking with him more and more and more, those sensations become stronger and stronger. And then you see people that, you know, they do things, and then you're like, wow, those people are powerful. They're not different from you. They're just you in a different state. They have gone deeper. You too have to go deeper. And God will speak to you, and he'll give you instructions in the place of prayer. And then even when you're done praying, you walk away, he will just, you know, it'll be a communion, a relationship like it was never destroyed, like it was never breached in the first place. Such a beautiful thing. I really, really want everyone to experience this, just like Paul would say. I want everyone to experience what I'm talking about, because it is beautiful to go deep into God. Like, you have such confidence, such security. Doesn't matter whether you're walking here and they say that they were shooting here. if God says keep going, you know that he'll protect you, because you now hear for yourself. You now know what he's saying part time. And it's so beautiful. Your life will be different. Imagine going through life. God creates each and every one of us with a plan, a purpose, a destiny. And then you try everything that is triable. And then at the end of your life, you realize that you didn't even do the thing that he called you to do, because you didn't go to him in the first place. I realized that everything that I will ever be, I will not know it until I've gone to him to find out. And one time in my life, I started doing a digging. I was fine. I had a good job. Everything was working. But I knew that there was more, right? I knew that there's something called destiny, something called purpose. I remember growing up and I wanted to be a doctor. Can you imagine me wanting to be a doctor? That was such a very off course for me. And imagine if I kept pushing that, because, you know, African parents, they want doctors, engineers, lawyers. And so I'm going to become a doctor in an African home. Everyone is cheering me on. But that was not where God was calling me to go. And you will not know it until you've gone to him and you ask him, say, Lord, what do you create me for? Right? And sometimes people say, I've asked him, he didn't say anything. I promise you, he said things. You're not listening. Go again and ask. There's no way we should go through life without direction. And like I said, it's good to come to church. It's good to, you know, fellowship with brethren. It's good to pray in church, but it's even better to have your own time, your own space, your own place with God, where he knows you, right? A lot of people, I don't know if God knows them, not knowing them, or he knows that they exist, but is someone replacing you at the feet of Jesus? Are you missing from that realm? You know, you should be there. You should be able to mark your attendance daily there, because it's a beautiful place to be. It's a life-changing place to be. The place of intimacy is what God wants us to have with him, right? Like Abraham, he wants people to be singing, I am a friend of God. He doesn't even know them, people that are singing that song, because they don't. Who is a friend? A friend is someone that you can confide in, someone that you can talk to, someone you can tell things. And most people really come to God as a genie in a bottle. Give me what I want. They collect and they're gone. And there's so much more to him than just collecting. Like I said, it says ask, it says seek, and it says knock. Most people end at asking, and then they never seek, they never knock. You know, they never go through that, the curtain that's already been torn, the veil that's already been torn. They never push through to get to the holies of holies. They stay at the outer court. The outer court is crowded with a lot of people. That's where everyone stays.
That's right.
But you go from the outer court to the inside, and then to the holies of holies, and then you see him. And that's where he wants all of us to be. When you are able to go there, a lot of things, the devil will not play with you. Like I said, the devil knows the people that are in the presence, right? And so you can do a lot of things on the outside, eh? But the people that are full of the light of God and the fire of God, like when Moses went to pray, he went to the mountain 40 days, came back, his face shone, the Bible says. And the people told him, they were like, cover your face with the veil, because we can't look at you. That's how it is when you go deep into the presence of God. You will come back shining. And human beings won't see, but the devil sees. And it's like, oh, this one, I better leave her alone. I'm not going to mess with her, because, you know, she knows her stuff. She knows she's been there. And so many things won't shake you. You know, sometimes we, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but so many things that happen in the world, it won't shake you, because you know your source. You know where your confidence is coming from. It's not because, you know, they say that when you come to church, they say we're in the season of prayer. You know, because you've been in the prayer closet and God is saying, this is the season to pray. Like if you were praying before, pray more now. Or he's saying this is the season to give. Or he's saying this is the fasting. So you already know before you come to church that, because the Lord has said something to you in your prayer closet. He wants us to get to that point where, you know, like, no, nothing can shake you. No news, you know, because I used to get so scared when I hear the news. Like, oh, God, what's happening? Am I going to make heaven? I used to always ask that question. Will I make heaven? If you have a relationship with God, you already know that. I mean, you're already saved, right? But right. Then you start to ask yourself, like, am I qualified? No, if you're deep, there's a depth you will go to. When you get there, you're just calm. Amen. Like, literally, whatever is happening, it doesn't really concern you, because you know where you're getting your news from. You know your source. You know what it is. And it doesn't matter how bad things are with you. you just know that I serve a God that will provide, because he has told me, he has told you something in the closet. He has given you a secret, something, you know. God is beautiful, and he wants us to enjoy this thing with him. The devil cannot have what we have. See, even the angels cannot have this fellowship that he wants us to experience in him. They can't, they're just, they're serving, they're messengers, they're, you know, they worship and they do what they have to do. We are an extension of him. We are made in his image and we're made in his likeness. And the original plan, when he said man is supposed to, when I was creating man at the beginning, the plan was man will not be an independent entity, but he will depend on me. He will always come. Imagine if that student decided that he's going to be the head of the class, even though the teacher is there. He's not going to go back and report what happens in the class to the teacher. He's just going to be roaming. He's just going to be, it's gone rogue. They're going to cast him away. But God wants us to always come to him, to depend on him. Just come to him and talk. You say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I know the time is up and I'm going to end here, but it doesn't, the smallest things he wants to talk about, the smallest things he wants to talk about, as you're walking on the road yesterday, you hit your leg against a stone and that really hurts. Tell him. He wants to hear it. Those little things that he wants to hear, and eventually it becomes big things, and next thing you know, he's telling you secrets that other people don't know. God wants us to go deeper in him this morning, and I want us to rise up on our feet and just close. So let's rise up this morning. I realize that our heart has the ability to speak even when our mouths are not speaking. So let us use our heart this morning to communicate with God and say that if you've been missing at the place of prayer, tell him you're sorry and that you're going to start again as you go home. If you've already been there, tell him you're going to go deeper, because there's so much more in him that you can explore. It's deeper than, you know, just what is on the surface. There's so much more. So let's just talk to him in our heart and say, Lord, you are wonderful, you're gracious. Thank you for letting me hear this. Give me the grace to make a sacrifice for you, and then to put things aside and to pick time and day and place and everything that I'll always meet with you. And I know you're a gentleman, you're always going to be there, so help me to keep my own end of the bargain and meet you, God. Let us go deeper this morning rest of our lives. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to hear your word today. I know that you want us to go deeper even in this time. I ask for the grace, Lord, that you pour anointing, you pour grace upon us, you give us strength. The Lord, you help us, that whatever it is that comes in the way as distraction will be taken away, and that we'll be able to focus in your presence. We'll eliminate the haste that always comes, and we'll be able to stay there, and we will grow in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, because you answered us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give her another hand clap of praise. Say that it is mandatory to be intimate with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, seeking him on a daily. You know, coming into this ain't no retreat. I think that you're gonna, you know, coming to this and get the land back. We got work to do as Christians to go out here and reach the ones that's lost. So seeking him every day will help, you know, build up your strength, give you words to say to people out here, and for whatever you're going through also. So I just ask each and every day that we continue as Christians to continue to keep up the faith, keep building a relationship with him day in and day out, and doing what he wants us to do as Christians. So at this moment, I guess we all gonna wrap up the service.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. If this message has been a blessing to you, consider donating on your favorite platform. You can donate by looking in the description box and picking your favorite platform of choice, Venmo, Cash App, or PayPal. Continue listening. And your prayers are needed, welcomed, and appreciated.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Hello, this is Pastor Jay of Walk Truth Radio Network, and we're back. Monday morning conversations with T. Drake and Pastor Jay, and we're going to start off with the triple threat, cuffing season, hub sun, and cloak and cover. Hey, T, we're back. What do you have to say?
Well, you know what, Pastor Jay? I am super excited. I cannot wait for us to have these conversations again. It has been long coming, and I'm so glad we are back. So I look forward to it. Don't you all forget to get something to drink and hop on with us as we have these conversations about these amazing topics that Pastor Jay and I, T. Drake, will be talking about.
Hello, everyone. This is Tanika Drake, and I am going to share a book with you that I've written called The Gift of Finding God's Love, Guilt and Shame Turned into My Shine. Please check that book out either on Barnes & Noble, or you can find it at Amazon, or any place where you can get that book. Remember, it is not okay for anyone to hurt or harm you. Please check that book out, and happy reading, everyone.